Send a movie idea.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, it's John here. I'm just popping in before the episode starts to apologise for the fact that you're not getting a new episode of the Dream Factory today, but you are getting an absolutely blinding classic episode, if anything that we've ever done can be described as classic. So this was recorded nearly 4 years ago, which is absolutely mind-boggling. And this is with the one and only Podfather, Scroobius Pip himself. So yeah, we put it up because over the weekend, Pip shouted out our podcast, which is incredibly lovely of him, and Joel gorged on so many Easter eggs that he just needs some time to think about what he's done. That's not really what happened, obviously. We will be back soon, I promise. Please keep sending in your ideas wherever you do social media or via email, dreamfactorypod@gmail.com or dreamfactorypod on all social medias. Basically, you can't actually listen to this podcast. It's a rule unless you've sent us an idea. It's a rule I've just made up, but I think it's a really good rule. I think it's going to stick. So in this episode, we discuss superhero baristas, obviously named things, sweet beverages, and it's an episode that was so dangerous it nearly got us banned. Enjoy.
John, what's the best thing you've ever won?
I don't think I've ever won like a competition or anything, if that's... No.
Just the hearts and minds of...
No, I meant like a random entry competition.
I thought it was about right. Yeah. I feel like there's competitions you probably could have won but would have been too afraid to enter.
Yeah, there's probably some apprehension, yeah, nerves. Should we move on?
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where it will be melted down and displayed in a Salvador Dali retrospective. I'm Joel, a man who puts the ass in underpaid office assistant, and across from me is John Harris, a man so uncomfortable in his own skin, he's tried unsuccessfully to shed it four times. And not only that, we're delighted to say that joining us today is rapper, poet, podcaster, Mr. Scroobius Pip. How's
Hello.
It going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good, man. I'm really excited to have you here.
I'm excited because I have regular interactions with both of you,
yeah,
but never in this kind of...
Well, never in the
hey,
same room.
We're talking, doing podcast stuff in interaction. I like it.
I know. It's normally a lot more professional than this.
So not mine and Scroobius.
Let's cut loose.
Mostly best friend stuff.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
we're best friends.
When was the last time you hung out?
Oh, well, real best friends don't need to hang out.
Yeah, they just know.
You don't
know.
Need that.
Yeah. John.
Yes.
We're here to pitch films. Give me a film.
What about this one from Sue? We're big fans of superhero films. I know Pip's a big fan of
huge
the superhero,
fan of superhero
genre.
Films.
What about Captain Americano?
So like a super barista?
What?
Barista
yeah.
by day? Caped Crusader by night?
Yeah. Pip, do you think coffee would be part of a superpower?
It's a really tough one. It's tough to know the genre it would be in because of the fact that superhero films have got to the point where superhero is no longer the genre. You've got comedy superhero films, you've got action ones.
Yeah, very true.
You've got teen ones and all sorts. So coffee is so across the board these days. It's hard to know what genre it would sit in.
It could be like an Italian art house film.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of it being a real kind of quite mundane, like the way Seinfeld was like the TV series where nothing happens. I like the idea of it just being such an everyday part of life that he's just there, just giving everyone a bit of a pep, a bit of a pep in their step.
So maybe he's just the barista. You know how like big companies, if you're ever going to have a meeting at like a big tech company or something. They've got their own barista in-house. Yeah. Maybe he's just the barista on that flying spaceship the Avengers have.
Or that's a beautiful thing, that he's the most important superhero, but no one knows he's got a superpower, because his superpower is bringing the best out of all the rest of them. In the morning, just giving them that little, hi, your costume's looking great, Captain.
Writing four on the cup.
Exactly, exactly. He's giving them that little boost, and he's the unsung hero of the heroes.
Until... I was going to do some big Infinity War spoilers then, but I'm not going to.
Generic until, bad guy kills all the other superheroes.
Yeah, until there aren't any superheroes and he has to step up.
Yeah. and then all he's got is, because his positive attitude doesn't really have much of an effect on villains, because if anything, it makes them stronger as well, because if you're in a bad mood and someone's being, have a good morning, you're like, fucking have a good morning. You have a good morning. I don't need to have a good morning.
He makes one henchman slip over on some coffee beans. Thinks, I'm in here. I'm as good as the other superheroes.
Alternatively, it could be he spent so much time making other people feel good, he's just got all this pent-up hatred. Yeah. So that when he does meet the villain, he just, one sentence, takes that guy down. A peg or seven.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he feels so bad about himself.
The supervillains need taking down a peg or seven.
Yeah, yeah.
They're up to no good.
Incidentally, my favourite literal name is henchman, because it's literally just, it's a henchman.
Oh yeah,
it's what a henchman is. It's a big henchman, and it's like pancakes. You don't think about it. It's just a cake you make in a pan. It's flour and that, and it's in a pan. Yeah, it's a pan. It's so simple, but we overlook it. So henchman is a favourite.
It's quite an interesting campaign you've got there for people to stop overlooking. Obviously named things.
Overlooking the obvious. We take these things for granted.
Do you want one from me?
Yes, please.
This is from James. Last Tango in Paris.
Right. Okay.
The sugar tax has hit France.
Oh, this is dramatic.
You can see where this has gone already, right?
Yeah.
So James is suggesting that all the original recipe soft drinks have gone. Yeah. I don't know if you've suffered from this, if you're a fan of a soft drink, but everything's changed in the UK.
Yeah.
Flavour as we know it has changed.
Yeah.
So if you are a child born now, you'd never know actually how delicious soft drinks have the potential to be.
Completely, but it's completely psychological as well. It's conditioning.
Is it really?
I went over to Pepsi Max at one point, and I was like, I was just trying to be a bit healthy, and I was reticent. And then I went back to Pepsi, and I was like, oh, it's so sickly. I can't enjoy it now. So I can't go back in time to a time where I was enjoying fully sugary drinks. So I'd try and have a character in who's trying to let people know it's going to be all right. We need to just push through. In time, we won't need any more tangos.
I mean, for your health, it's probably for the best that you've gone to Pepsi Max. However, there is a, you know, you could have just soldiered on through the Pepsi sickly taste until you got used to it again.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, again, I could push back to that. I mean, alternatively, I'm making it this big crusade. I could have soldiered past fizzy pop if I'm making this big choice and big lifestyle change. But no, I was like, I still want to have fizzy pop. I just don't want it to be quite as sugary.
The French still want to have their fizzy pop.
They do, understandably, in glass bottles as well. Mm. They love a bit of that still. They're traditional.
They do, and they also like a different shape.
Is Tango the bulb?
I was going to say, I don't think Tango.
No, Fanta's the bulb.
No,
it's Orangina.
I was going to say, it's Orangina. That's what you have in Europe. You go in, you go on a holiday to France.
It's not a case of Last Tango in Paris. There's no Tango in Paris.
It's Last Tango in Paris, and it'll be another one that just no one really notices. It'll just be someone drinking a Tango and going, oh, it's not Orangina. And that was it.
Credits.
Yeah. It's not because of any sugar tax. It's just lack
there
of demand.
Tango.
The last, it's going to be a falsified story of sugar tax. It's going to turn out, oh no, there just wasn't really demand for it. It's like the myth that that absinthe was illegal in the UK for a certain amount of time.
It's a myth.
It just wasn't popular. People weren't into it. That's why absinthe wasn't around.
Sexy.
And it's like, it's now this thing, it was illegal, it was too dangerous, it was green, and people set fire to it. It's like, no, just, they weren't into it.
No,
they
one
liked
drank
a bit of whiskey and gin.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Maybe we should claim the Dream Factory is illegal.
Yeah.
And cool and sexy. then we'll suddenly pop to the top of the iTunes charts.
Yeah, maybe we could tax it somehow, get to the front page of the news.
It is the classic thing of like of songs that were banned from the radio or music videos that were banned and all that. And it's always like, you're really over-egging that.
It's the most counterproductive thing to do, right? To ban something like that. Because people were like, well, now I have to.
I legitimately used that marketing technique on my first ever single, because Thou Shalt Always Kill came out. And it was on the radio, they peeped out, topical, the word Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola and Nestle. And everyone was furious. And I made this big point of, we've written the first song that had to be censored not because of swearing.
Yeah, that's good.
It was so powerful. They didn't even have to censor swear words. They had to censor the content. That's how, and I was like, everyone went crazy for it. I was like, how powerful. And they're furious at Radio 1. I'm like, I don't care. It's just nice to get played.
Maybe when we post this one, we say it's so sexy that it nearly got banned.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
people will have to listen.
Maybe we just deliver it a day late because we claim we're in court.
Yeah, yeah. I did, again, this is just a career highlight. It's a walk down memory lane. But I had an ending to my Edinburgh Fringe show, which people still don't realise. I did it on the spoken word too as well. And people still don't realise it was a joke, which is, I think, the sign of the best jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're performing on stage, when people don't realise they've heard a joke, that's what every
it's
comedian
the ones 2 days later that you want. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But I did a thing which was essentially I ripped it off from Tommy Cooper. So I'd make this claim that I had this new poem that, and I'd say you might have seen it in the Metro that it was. I'm in a court case at the moment because it was deemed to be in inciting violence or inciting rage. So I'm not allowed to perform it, but you know, you guys have been so good tonight. I've been told that there's going to be undercover police, so you know, but you guys have been so good, I'm going to perform it. But as I might get stopped halfway through, if it's okay, I'll take my applause now, because it's been an amazing night. I'll take my applause now. But, you know, if I get stopped, it's not my fault if I go to prison, blah, blah, blah. And they all applaud and go mental, and then I just go, no, I ain't going to prison for that. And walked off, and Tommy Cooper used to do that. I'd have this pile of chairs, and he'd be like, this dangerous trick I'm going to do, but I may die, so I'll take my applause. Yeah. I ain't risking my life for that and walk off. But still to this day, people say, so what happened to it was called chronic, not critical, which came from just a text I had that a mate cancelled because he had an illness, and all he said was, it's chronic, not critical. And I was like, wow, that is a wonderful cancellation. But yeah, to this day, if people say, so have you ever recorded a version of Chronic Not Critical? Has it ever got out there? I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, no, I'll get arrested.
It's
too dangerous.
You're going to Ed Miliband it and carve it into a massive stone block in your garden one day.
Yes,
I've just had a word with Pip, and if you listen past the credits of this episode of the podcast, he's going to perform for the first time Chronic Not Critical.
I cannot wait.
Exclusive. John. Although it will check to see if you've listened to any adverts that are in there and not just fast-forwarded through. Again, yeah. I like to put spoilers and Easter eggs into my adverts on my podcast because I know everyone just skips through them, so it's fine.
What about this one from Dale? Kevin James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, yes. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'd watch it.
And I like how just you know what you're getting.
With Kevin James.
Yeah. With Kevin James and the Giant Peach. Yeah. You know, it tells you all you need to know about the story. It's not The Shape of Water, which should have been Fishman and the Mute. I've campaigned for a long time. That should have been the title.
You're very pro literal labelling.
Yeah, I like literal things, yes. But Kevin James and the Giant Peach gives you that. I would watch that, just Kevin James and the Giant Peach. And there'll be what's his name in it, who's in all Kevin James and Adam Sandler films. Who's the guy?
Adam Sandler.
That's him.
The guy says you can do it.
Oh,
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, yes.
He'll be in there. He may be the Giant Peach. There may be a big reveal at the end that the Giant Peach Schneider was always Rob Schneider.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
What about this one from Martin? Sean Penguin. It's a similar kind of vibe. Famous person.
Is a penguin.
Yeah.
Is there a film just called Penguin? Or is it just purely the pun?
So sometimes
it's just, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a pun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes we just work on pure puns, Pip. Is it a body swap comedy? No, we've done that before.
We do quite a lot of body swap comedies.
Yeah.
Would Sean Penn get on better as a penguin, or a penguin get on better as Sean Penn? Pip.
I mean, again, that's just, it's made me excited for the idea of a body swap, because in trying to analyse that, I've realised I want to see both.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a penguin being like overly left wing and ranty and kind of alienating itself
because they're quite right wing traditionally.
They are I mean they've got both. They are entitled and they're useless because they can't fly off it. But anyway, but imagine
we are going to get banned if you start calling penguins useless.
is the most controversial podcast today.
If Sean Penn, maybe Sean Penn wakes up in the body of a penguin, and I like the wing element, yeah, he has to learn to be the first penguin that can fly, so he flies back to Hollywood to find his body that's got the brain of a penguin and swap back.
I reckon you'd struggle to convince that penguin to leave Sean Penn's body.
Yeah.
If you're having a whale of a time. It's not a whale of a time.
Someone's a fan of Sean Penn's body. Who would ever leave that? I mean, come on, be serious. Look at him.
Oh, yeah, I'll stand by it.
Yeah, better than,
if I was a penguin and I was suddenly in Sean Penn's body, I'd be like, there's a lot more.
Depends on the situation. If you're in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, goodbye. I'd probably rather have the penguin's body.
We don't know how good a swimmer Sean Penn is. Yeah, never seen him in water.
I bet he's a good. I would guess him to be a good swimmer because he looks like he's got that like natural low body fat, you know,
high lung capacity.
Joel often tells me he has the body of a swimmer. Actually, don't you, Sean Penn? You're always telling me.
Yeah, I thought you meant me. Absolutely not. No, terrified of this stuff. Absolutely terrified of the stuff.
But yeah,
can't handle open water, Pip.
Oh really? Does it freak you out?
Yeah, it's the sense of. Like, I shouldn't be here.
I love the water, and I almost drowned as a child, so what's wrong with you? I've got every reason to hate it.
Yeah, it's because you faced it. You faced death in the face.
The fear and got through.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't defeat me.
I... You just stand at the ocean like King Canute.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. Want another go?
Swim with my mouth open and everything. Try it. I just spit it out.
John, what are you most afraid of?
Social situations with more than a few people.
Yeah.
I faced it sometimes, but I'm not stronger as a result of it like Pip is.
But I do think that's an overlooked thing that's absolutely fine and reasonable. I'm the same with that. I don't really like big crowds and stuff like that. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is,
it makes
John...
me want to swap the bodies with a penguin. Penguin. It's trying to do trends.
They're always
in big crowds. Yeah,
you never get a lone penguin.
That's true.
But they're so you get to just drift into the crowd when you're a penguin. Yeah. Is it racist to say all penguins look the same? I can't tell the difference.
Ask Sean Penguin. He's a pretty left-leaning.
He is. He won't.
Politically active penguin.
Yeah. How dare you?
The thing about John is he approaches crowds in the same way you do the water, and he just sort of goes in that open mouth. It's weird. It's really weird.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes everyone very uncomfortable. How about this from Graham? Harry Potter and the Hunt for Red October.
Oh, nice. No, I like it.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, John and I pitched Snape's on a Plane.
Yep. Nice.
This is similar, but I believe the Hunt for Red October happens in a submarine.
Yes, it's a submarine, and I think the addition of Sean Connery is what the Harry Potter franchise was missing.
It probably was. Well,
Sean Connery in a submarine.
Yeah, I mean, a school in
Scotland. Hiding from Harry Potter. Literally, just what better than a submarine for hiding, to have that little thing that peeps up and goes, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. And
a little periscope.
I nearly said that Harry Potter doesn't ever tackle water, but he does in one of them. He's got the gillyweed, he can swim underwater.
Right.
So he could feasibly chase a submarine.
I mean, there's a lot of water.
There's a lot of water to hide in.
I like the idea. There's not enough like thrillers that are based kind of like on a game of hide and seek, which is truly thrilling. If you are hiding
and
someone is trying to find you in a game of hide and seek and they're close, all the heart races. So
imagine if that person was a wizard.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not allowed to cheat. No, like invisibility cloak or anything, right?
No, he's doing the hunting.
Mate. Oh, fine.
Yeah, and the invisibility cloak, it's not going to work on Sean's radar, let me tell you that.
Yeah.
No, there's no cloak for radar.
You may be invisible, not to sonar.
That's the tagline for the film.
I might be overthinking this, but why is Harry Potter looking for Sean Connery in a submarine?
Don't worry about
I mean,
it,
that's the big reveal. That's part of the mystery.
Oh,
it's like an old boy where the big reveal at the end is you were asking the wrong question. That's exactly it. It's like we're all asking, can he find Sean Connery?
Yeah.
We weren't asking why he's looking for Sean Connery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, what about this one? Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, but it's the band Kiss from Daryl.
Nice, I like it.
You're a fan of Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, right?
I love Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Are you a fan of the band Kiss?
Not as much, so maybe this would be what gets me into them. I love, because a Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang was just full to the brim with just overly written dialogue, but it was wonderfully witty. And clever,
yeah,
which is
the
opposite of Kiss lyrics.
Yeah,
because the beauty of them is the simplicity and crassness.
Yeah,
and I'm not hating there, but I don't think anyone's going to claim that Kiss wrote these mysterious,
deep,
I'm winding lyrics.
So I'm happy to hate here on Kiss. I think they're, I think they're unquestionably shit.
I saw them live once in Finsbury Park with a lot of people who were very excited. I left halfway through because I was only there because they were being supported by Rage Against the Machine,
nice.
Who I was excited to see, and I left just as the main Kiss, I believe his name, Kiss number one, was flying out over the crowd shooting fire. And I was like, all right, this isn't really what I came for. Angry political rantings.
Yeah.
Now there's a man in spandex flying over the crowd.
That is an odd lineup, isn't it?
I'm not going to rock and roll all
next
night.
To each other, would you?
No. I'm trying to think if there's any other links, but there's not. One of my favourite bits of wonderful script writing is from Role Models, where Paul Rudd's character mistakenly thinks the lyrics are "I want to rock and roll all night and part of every day,"
yes.
Which is just beautiful because it's a more realistic,
absolutely
ambition.
What a knacker in the schedule Kiss have set themselves out with there.
Ridiculous.
Have a day
every
off.
Day. You're already doing all night. That's the hardest bit. At least take it easy in the day. There's not much demand in the day.
If you had to rock and roll all night, which part of the next day would you choose to party in?
Probably
brunch.
No, I was going to say a late lunch. I was going to say a late lunch because I've had a bit of a nap.
Yeah.
I'm ready to have come back in when everyone's got over the morning bit.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I'm there to party for the rest of the day into the night.
When do Kiss sleep?
Yeah, maybe we'd find that out.
Well, it looks like
in
never.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. Oh no, that's they're clearly banging instead. So it's the Kiss sex tape.
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang is just a camera constantly on the members of Kiss, seeing how long they actually rock and roll and party for.
Gene Simmons, aka Kiss number one, aka Mr. Kiss,
claimed, is he Kiss number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
He claimed to have had sex with like 3,000 women or something, and someone did the maths. It was
and
like,
interestingly, he details his lovemaking technique as Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. It's literally the process because he needs to be that brief and to the point to get through that many people.
Of course.
Well, there we go. Lovely. What about this one from Buck D? Cloudy with a Chance of Dodgeballs. Have you seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
I haven't, but I was thinking of it last night.
Oh,
why?
Because...
In the kitchen.
This is now outrageous. My real name is David Meads, and I just thought of the pun of a forecast being Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which, as a sexy forecast, which I had for some reason...
immediately not a kid's film.
For some reason, it came into my head late last night, so it's strange that it comes up now, but...
What's the cloud in that title?
I don't know. What's the? I imagined it in an attempted sexy situation. What's the forecast for tomorrow?
Cloudy.
Cloudy. With a chance of Meads balls. Oh, Jesus! This isn't sexy at all.
I'll stay in.
You've been getting tips off Gene Simmons. Yeah. I'll take an umbrella. Jeez.
Well, that's the episode title.
But Cloudy with a Chance of Dodgeballs is again a great thriller, because I'd imagine what Dodgeball as a game is lacking is the thrill, because you know it's immediate. Whereas if Dodgeball is an all night and every day activity, at any point you've got this risk of dodgeballs. Then, oh, imagine the edge of your seat you'll be. Just
if rain was dodgeballs.
Yeah, if rain was dodgeballs, imagine.
I mean, they would be reaching a velocity, which would mean they would be
truly instant death. So the fear in the game of dodgeball is just that you'll be out. You'll be sent to the sideline. Yeah. You could even be brought back from the sideline if someone catches a ball. Whereas in this, you're out of the game in terms of...
You're sent to the big sideline in the sky.
Our hero at the end has to be resuscitated somehow, and the doctor has to go, "You've been brought back from the sidelines." Definitely has to happen.
Now go and stop those sky dodgeballs.
Or just dodge them. There's no stopping in dodgeball. The point of dodgeball is not to stop the balls. It's simply to dodge them. So now go on and live the rest of your life dodging those sky balls.
Wait, if you catch a ball, you take out the other person. So maybe
you're not catching a ball that's fallen from the sky, are you?
You've got big metal gloves, I guess, to catch.
Yeah.
To catch the final
big metal gloves.
It's all about technique, isn't it? Yeah. It's like in football, like when someone just traps a ball perfectly. It's taking it. It's moving with it.
So you're on a massive ladder on top of like a pool. Right. And you have to jump down with the ball and go down with its velocity into the water, catch it, make sure it doesn't hit the ground. And then the clap.
This sounds a lot like when I was a kid. I used to think if a plane was falling to the ground, you could just jump out when it was 10 feet from the ground.
Just jump off. Yeah, it makes sense.
I honestly believe that until probably 18, 19 years of age.
What it'd have to be is an extendable ladder, but you've loosened the bit that seals the extensions.
Yeah, very good.
So that with the slight pressure, it'll just go and take you down.
And then you've caught one dodgeball.
Yeah. But now it's Earth's turn to throw the balls at the clouds.
Again, not going to have as much impact.
And if you're really going to play a dodgeball.
Oh, wait, yeah. Wait.
It's a no, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And then you'd have only, by catching that, you'd have only taken out one cloud, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the clouds would dissipate. Yeah.
I think that it's a thriller, but I'm not sure anyone's going to watch that one. It's quite bleak.
It's this point in the show, Pip, John and I bring our own suggestions to the table.
Great.
So you've heard the listeners' suggestions.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, they're mostly terrible.
I'm ready for a great jump or fall in quality.
John, who's up
to
first?
Be decided.
I'll go first. My one is a family film all about inclusivity, a la maybe like a Disney Pixar.
Yeah.
Coyote Ugly. So it's about...
So it's like the story of the ugly duckling.
Yeah, but it's a coyote, right? Is that legally...
Yeah, I know that.
No, is that... The ugly duckling's an old enough story that we're not going to get sued for.
No,
right?
That's fine. I think you can get away with that. I mean,
Different
the ugly
animal.
In the title is a struggle because that's...
Yeah.
It's putting it there. How sexily is this coyote dressed?
Yeah, that's important.
I don't think it's going to try and get a job at a bar where it dances on the countertops.
Okay, well, you're losing me. Keep going.
Okay, fine. It is. It's an ugly coyote.
That could be the big payoff, that when it finds, when it gets its self-esteem, it has the confidence to strip in a bar.
That's beautiful. I reckon
what everyone should be aiming towards.
We all are. I reckon the coyote's so ugly, but it's employed by the bar, but not front of house.
Yeah.
So it's out the back changing barrels, cleaning the toilets, and then one day there's illness spreads through the team.
Yeah.
And so the coyote has to work behind the bar.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets self-esteem
opportunity and gets its self-esteem. I would like the coyote to be voiced by Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
Because whenever they post like child pictures of her, who was clearly the odd, ugly kid at school.
Yeah, nice.
And then at a point was thought of as the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Yeah.
Unconventional looking.
For sure.
Which I think she'd bring something to the role and the character of the coyote as it goes through a similar journey.
There's a picture, isn't there, that often goes around where at the age of like 17, her and Steve Buscemi look almost identical.
Yeah.
Okay,
I always enjoy them posts, though, of be careful who you pick on at school because they might turn out to be beautiful. It's like, how about just stop picking on people at school, regardless of if they remain ugly or not? Let's just say, not be like, oh, I wish I hadn't picked on them because they turned out to be beautiful. Not because they killed themselves because I was horrible and really tortured them. It's like, careful who you pick on at school.
Consult this checklist before bullying anyone.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
Right, my idea, guys.
Yes.
Is Carry On Killing.
Right.
Carry spelled C-A-R-R-I-E.
Brilliant.
So it's an innuendo knockabout take on the Stephen King classic Carrie.
Yeah. Oh.
You see what I've done there, John?
I've got it. I'm there. Sorry. The best jokes take a little while. That's
exactly right. Yeah. I should have taken my applause before giving you that, You having that?
Yeah, I'm well on board.
I like it. And is it there was a sequel, wasn't there? So is it the third part? Is it a continuation of Carrie?
I saw it as a reimagining. Barbara Windsor's in there.
Brilliant.
She's the mum.
Okay, I love it.
I quite like the idea that it's a sequel, so we drag the audience who, like, came for the Stephen King fans.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And then they have to watch a knockabout raunchy comedy.
There's probably just more Stephen King fans than Barbara Windsor fans.
I mean, we'd have to do a survey. It's hard to estimate.
What we'll do is, before making the film, we'll get a focus group in.
Yeah.
Would you rather a reimagining for the Carry On fans or a sequel for the Stephen King fans?
Or both. Both the audiences. Win-win.
Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it? Because didn't they pour blood on her because she'd got her period? And that was kind of the joke. It was them picking on her.
Yeah.
It's a really hard area to find comedy in, is the coming of age.
Says you.
Yes. I mean, again, yeah, you look at Carry On films and they will be making the most inappropriate jokes. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they could do that. I like it. I like the idea of it. It'll bring a bit of much-needed lightness.
Levity.
To a Stephen King franchise.
The best horror films have got a laugh in them. A
bit of fun in there.
Yeah.
So they pour the blood on her to bully her.
Yeah.
And they don't even consider how beautiful she might turn out to be later. Yeah. Yes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You just see the beauty here is you can start making it and then decide which one it is halfway through the is it?
Oh, it was a coyote, by the way.
Yeah. By the way, Carrie is Carrie the Coyote.
Carry On Coyote. Yeah, nice.
Carrie the Coyote is a very typical name for a Pixar character. I like it.
Amazing. Well, that brings us to the end, Pip.
I like it.
Thank you so much.
It's been enjoyable.
We normally pick a winner, but we have to leave that honour to you. So we can recap any titles that we've had
let's
if
have
you
a
want.
A quick
Harry Potter and the Hunt for Red October.
Oh, that was thrilling.
Tango in Paris.
Okay.
Captain Americano, Sean Penguin, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but it's the band. Kevin James and the Giant Peach.
It's Kevin James and the Giant Peach.
It's got the winners. Yeah. My love of literalness just came to life. And my love of Kevin James, if I'm honest. So yeah, it's got to be Kevin James and the Giant Peach.
Brilliant. And that just about brings us to the end of the podcast. And we know it's the end because there is a rat-tat-tat on the studio door. And in rolls Kevin James in Paul Blart Mall Cop attire on a Segway dragging a Giant Peach.
Amazing.
What a great guy.
He was great.
Weird that the beard's fake. Isn't that weird? He just took it off before recording. That was weird. That was so weird, didn't you think? Yeah. He was like, oh, you don't want this ruffling on the mic, do you? And he just stuck it to the wall. I hated that. Other than that, nice guy. But it's just, you have to wonder, if he's lying about that, what else is he lying about?
I don't know if you can say things like that about my best mate.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.